Thank you for standing by. I would like to inform parties today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. If you need assistance during the call, please press star then zero. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Amy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information PDP Working Group on Thursday, 19th of December, 2013. On the call today, we have Ephraim Kenenito, Amir Sadeh, Ting Chao, Chris Dillon, Guillaume Leclanche, Jennifer Chung, Jim Galvin, Justin Chu, Mark Granted, Patrick Lenihan, Peter Dernbach, Peter Reinfeldt, Kutinan Kwan Mompasma, Samad Hussain, Simon Piro.
Call my name already.
And if you could identify yourself in the chat, that would be perfect. We have received no apology for the moment from today's call. From staff, we have Lars Hoffman, Julie Hedlund, Steve Sheng, Mary Wong, Glenda Sanjiri, and myself, Nati Peregrin. I'd like to remind all participants to please mute their microphones in the Adobe Connect room. You can do this by clicking on the microphone icon at the top of the Adobe Connect toolbar. Equally, if you're on the audio bridge, please mute your phones as you're getting background noise. Thank you very much, and over to you, Julie.
Thank you very much, Natalie, and welcome, everyone. This is Julie Hedlund. And until we select the chair or chairs for this call, I'll lead this session. And then once we, as you'll see later in the agenda, once we select chairs, which we may do on this call or we may do also on the list, depending on volunteers, then from that point on, I'll turn the call over to the chairs. But welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining, and also thank you for joining so close to the holidays. Just to review the agenda, which you see in the next room. Sounds like we need someone to mute their line. Thank you. So just to review the agenda, a staff will do an introductory presentation. This is going to cover a little bit about the policy development process for those of you who may not be familiar with it, some background on the translation and transliteration of contact information and the issues that this PDP working group will address, some background on the working group charter, and Steve Sheng will provide some information on a feasibility study that is being conducted, which will provide some information useful to this working group. And then we will have some administrative matters, including proposals for our chairs, any other business that anyone wants to suggest, and then confirmation of our next meeting and our meeting schedule. And before we dive into this agenda, I would like to ask if anybody has any questions about it, if anyone has anything they would like to add to it. Please go ahead. Thank you. I don't hear any suggestions, so I'm going to move into the introductory presentation, and the slides are the ones that you see in the Adobe Connect room. Moving to slide two, just to go over what we'll cover here, we have some information on the policy development process, the overview, the workload, and deliverables, background on the issue of translation and transliteration of contact information, some information on the working group charter, and an overview of the feasibility study. Moving along to the GNSO policy development process. And I see there is a question in the chat room from Jim Galvin, and I'm going to go ahead and ask that question as well. we have somebody in the Adobe Connect chat room who is identified just as W. Oh, it's Hussie. Oh, Wolf Ulrich Snowden. Thank you very much. I did not see down the list to your answer. Thank you very much, Wolf Ulrich, and welcome. We'll note that you are on the call and make sure that you're added to the attendee list. Thank you. So, some background. So, the as part of the GNSO improvements process, and I'm not going to read everything on the slide, you can see it there yourself, but there was a new policy development process that was developed and that established a working group approach, and that established the working groups that we have that that then look at a particular PDP, in this case the PDP on translation and transliteration of contact information. This revised PDP was adopted in December of 2011, and now all working groups and all PDPs follow these particular procedures. So this graphic is an overview of the policy development process. And I'll explain then where we are in this process if it's not already apparent. First, there's an issue that's identified. In this case, the issue came out of the work of the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. And one of the issues they identified was the translation and transliteration of contact information, who should decide, who should bear the burden of that, and whether or not there should be translation and transliteration. And once that issue was identified, it was scoped, and an issue report was developed. There was a preliminary issue report that staff developed and that went out for public comment. And then from those comments, there was a final issue report on the translation and transliteration of contact information policy development process. And the GNSO Council approved that report, and the policy of the GNSO Council approved the initiation of a PDP on translation and transliteration of contact information. So then, you know, the next logical step is to form a to develop a charter, which we had a drafting team that developed the charter for this PDP working group, and that charter was approved. And several of you who are on this call were also in that drafting team, and thank you for your work. And that then, once that was accepted by the council asked staff to invite volunteers for a PDP working group. And those of you who were on this call and others, I think, also have volunteered for this working group, and I thank you very much for that. So that puts us right at the center of this this graphic here. And what the working group does is then seeks the opinion of ICANN advisory committees and supporting organizations, and has deliberations on the information it gathers. It will publish an initial report, and that will go out for comment, and there'll be, you know, information collected around that. We'll ask for statements from the stakeholder groups and constituencies on that report, and then there'll be a final report that will be presented to the council. The council will deliberate on that. And just to go to the next graphic, there are several things that can happen once it goes to the council. The council could say, no, we don't adopt this, send it back to the working group for more work. Or it could say, yes, adopted, and then that would follow appropriate voting thresholds in the that are set forth in the PDP manual. And then there would be a report that would go to the board, and then following that, there would be implementation. So that's the process, and we are at the working group stage of that, just starting that. And, of course, please interrupt me at any time if you have any questions, if anything is not clear. I know I'm moving fairly quickly, but we have a fair number of slides, and I want to make sure we have time for everything in our, you know, in our schedule today. Or you may also put a question into the chat room, and I'll keep an eye on that as well. So some of the requirements that I've mentioned on the PDP is that there needs to be statements gathered from constituency and stakeholder groups. The working group needs to formally seek the opinion of advisory committees and supporting organizations. This has to happen early in the process. There needs to be an initial report that goes out for public comment, so that's a key deliverable. And there's a review of the comments coming out of that public comment process, and then those are taken into consideration in the development of a final report. I'm noting that Rudy Vosnick has joined us. Welcome, Rudy. And I'm hoping that others are not having connectivity problems. I see that Patrick is having some connectivity problems. I'm noticing that there are various people typing in the chat. Maybe I'll just wait for a second and see if there are questions that arise from that I need to address. Okay. All right, then I'm going to go ahead and move ahead. So what can you expect as a member of this working group? What is your workload? First of all, generally the working groups meet weekly for a one-hour phone conference. Email traffic will happen on the list, and that's something that working groups, the working group participants need to pay attention to, because some of the work may be done on the list. Not mentioned here, but worth mentioning, is that there's also a wiki, and information will be placed on the wiki for review and consideration. And then staff, of course, can be tasked with producing various information to help the working group, and will submit those materials prior to meetings to help with preparations. Excuse me. And these are just some links, and we'll put these slides out on the wiki as well, but some links for reference for you. Annex A of the bylaws talks about the PDP, the policy development process. There's the PDP manual and a new PDP overview. And thank you, Amr, for putting out the link to the working group wiki. I do appreciate that. So before I move ahead, onto the background on the translation and transliteration PDP. I want to give people the opportunity to ask about policy development process and the expectations for this working group. Are there any questions about the process or deliverables for this working group? I see, Amr, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Julie. This is Amr. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. I was just going to note that the slide you had earlier on the PDP overview did not include the implementation review team part of in the process. I'm not sure if that was left out potentially for some reason, or if it's just not part of the process that you wanted to cover, but I'm just going to bring it up. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. I'm afraid I missed part of what you said, and I apologize. What was it that was missing from the process? And I apologize. For whatever reason, I wasn't.
That's all right. The slide with the PDP overview,
mm-hmm.
The process ended with implementation in the last box.
Yes.
I guess you could also add implementation review team as another.
I went back. Yeah.
Yeah, there would also be an implementation review team following this as part of the process, I suppose.
Yes, I think that's correct. This is a graphic that we've produced to show sort of the PDP itself. Is sort of seen to, if you look at the PDP manual, it sort of ends at implementation, because that part passes off to the implementation team and staff and so on. And so it's not shown here, but you're absolutely right. That is still a key part of it.
Would make sense because implementation review is not actually part of the development process.
That's correct.
But I just thought I'd mention it because I do know that there are some new participants to working groups on this one, so I just thought it would be.
I think it's very helpful to mention, Amar, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
And I see that there is a question from Peter Dernbach. Is there a time with which when we should, within which we should come up with the initial report and final report? There are some guidelines. There's not a strict deadline per se, and just to, I'm just going to go into, I actually have up in front of me, you can't see it, but I have the policy development process manual in front of me. There's not a specific timeline, but staff have some guidance timelines, and in general, I think that I lost my Adobe Connect page for a second. I think that it's expected to take several months to develop a initial report and final report. Part of it is that once the initial report is developed, there will also be then the public comment process. That may include a reply comment as well, depending on the comments that are initially received. That alone can take a couple of months, and then the production of the final report. And I see that Lars Hoffman has his hand up, and followed by Rudy Vonsnick. So let's start a queue. Lars, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Judy. Just very briefly, this is Lars. And it's also probably useful if we, once we have agreed to chairs, et cetera, for the group to work out, come up with a work plan so that, you know, that we look at what issues we're going to sort out and by what time we would like to, or the group would like to come up with the, realistically come up with the results. So that might help also to push along discussions and to help focus the group's work. It's work for other groups, and I think it might be a good idea.
Yeah, thank you, Lars. And in fact, there is in the working group guidelines a requirement that that the working group should come up with a timeline of deliverables. So I think once the working group has a sense of the amount of work and study that will go into the issues, then they have a better idea of planning the timing for that as well. And and then, Rudy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Julie. Rudy speaking. With regards to the reports, I think it's also important to mention that this PDP working group depends on a lot of others. And others are going to influence also some of our decisions and maybe objectives to go and search for. Especially recently I was in the call for the Who is Misuse webinar. It was quite interesting to know that in fact the study didn't yet take care of what if contact data is translated or transliterated. Does that have an impact on who is misused? So you see, it's, we have a lot of relations with other working groups where input from those working groups could influence our reports too. So just to mention that it's not just our, it's a bit larger. It's all that affects the who is data. And I think we have to look like an octopus in four directions.
Thank you, Rudy. That's absolutely correct. There are other groups, as we'll mention here later in this presentation, whose work could be funneled into or must be taken consideration by this working group. That's a very good point. Thank you. I see that Petter Rinforth has said, to summarize, our timeline is generally ASAP. Well, yes, within reason. And I see that in the chat, Ching Chao has said, for the timeline, I guess we also take into account of other three recommendations in the IRD report. He says it seems to me 1 to 2 years to get everything done. Rudy, oh, my God, yes. Well, let's see if we can't do better than that, but we'll see. But thank you for all your comments. I appreciate it. Any other comments before we go forward into the next part of the presentation? Lars, I see your hand is still up, so I don't know if that means you have another comment.
Sorry, Judy. Yes. It's actually off topic, but I thought I'd leave my hand up. Natalie just pointed out to me that there's a couple of people that are in the Adobe room and also on the audio bridge and or on the audio bridge that have not formally signed up to the group. And obviously this is it's an open group, so anybody can join as a member, but if they do, I'd just like to remind everybody that they should submit, just write an email to the GNSO Secretariat, and then also they would have to submit an SOI so that all the formalities are kept. But obviously you can stay on the call for today. There's no problem.
Thank you very much, Lars. Yes, for those of you who have not formally joined the working group, we do, of course, welcome more participants. It's very important that we have broad representation in this working group. So I urge you, if you are interested, after you have listened to this call to join, please do get in touch with the Secretariat. We'll be happy to have more volunteers. Of course, by the time you finish listening to this call, you may all want to run away, but hopefully not. A background on the translation and transliteration PDP. So as I mentioned, there was an initial issue report that was published on March 21st of 2013. I'm sorry, that's the final issue report, I should say. And following that, the PDP was initiated by the GNSO on the 13th of June of this year. There was a drafting team formed that submitted the charter to the council on the 30th of September, and the council approved the charter on 20 November in its meeting in Buenos Aires. And following that, the staff called for volunteers for the PDP working group on the 27th of November. And I do again want to thank everybody for joining, for those of you who have joined. Lars, I see your hand is still up. Did you have another comment?
No, this time it's definitely residual. I'm sorry. I put it down immediately.
That's okay. I just want to be sure. So some background on the issue and why it's important. So text requests and content returned by domain name registration data services, and by that we mean such as Whois, are encoded using U.S. Standard Code for Information Interchange, ASCII, for those of you who are familiar with it. That's based on the English alphabet and script, the Arabic script. Currently, there are no standards or conventions for all Whois protocol implementations to signal supportive character sets other than U.S. ASCII. And I should mention here that this is really a summary on the issue. There are a lot more details, and we do have a link to the issue report. I urge you all to read the final issue report. There's much more data and information there, and I know that people such as Jim Galvin in particular, who's on this call, are extremely knowledgeable on these issues, and I know, Jim, you probably understand that we're summarizing to a certain extent. But there's a lot more detail that I urge you all to look at in the final issue report. We'll send a link to that when I follow this call as well. But some more background. Translation is the process of conveying the meaning of some passage of text in one language so that it can be expressed equivalently in another language. Transliteration, the process of representing the characters of an alphabetical or syllabic system of writing by the characters of a conversion alphabet. So, for example, something might be translated but not transliterated. Something might be transliterated but not translated, or you could have a combination of the two. Both can be important for helping people understand information. And what is contact information? So that enables someone using a service such as Whois to contact the domain name registration holder. So that's the name, organization, postal address, registered name holder, technical contact, as well as administrative contact. You might imagine then if I, for instance, I'm an Arabic speaker and I pull up information from the Whois and it's all in English and it's all, in a language that I cannot read, or if I'm, a Mandarin speaker and it's not in a script that I can read or in a language that I can read, it would be very difficult for me conceivably to contact the domain name registration holder if I can't read that information. So the RIA, that is the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, specifies the data elements that must be provided by registrars, but it does not require that these data elements be translated or transliterated. So as I mentioned before, this issue grew out of the work of the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. And just for background to all of you, that working group was a joint working group formed by a board resolution to look at the issue of internationalized registration data. And that group looked at many issues relating to internationalized registration data, but called out the issue of translation and transliteration of contact information as a key issue that should be addressed in a PDP. And that, by the way, that group had participants from the GNSO and from the ESAC, and was chaired by Jim Galvin, who also is here with us today. So Jim has a lot of background. So not to keep putting you on the spot, Jim, I'm not asking you to say anything. So the IRD working group noted that many language translation systems are inexact. There are likely to be problems with consistency and accuracy. Translation, transliteration may vary across languages using the same script. Things may be translated or transliterated differently, even within a language. How would a registrar determine which spellings to use for each registrant? How would a registrant verify the correctness of a translation or transliteration, even if it's presented such data by the registrar or by a third-party translator or transliterator? Yes, thank you, Jim, for pointing out the IRD working group, also co-chaired with Edmund Chung. So those are the issues, but to go into more specifics, we need to look at the charter that's been approved by the GNSO Council. But before I do that, I want to ask, I'll go back a slide, I would like to ask if there are any questions about the background that we've given you on the issue. Then I'll move along, but of course you can ask questions at any time and also when we finish this presentation. So, the charter. The most important thing about the charter is the mission and scope. The charter really is based on the issues that were identified in the final issue report, and there were two issues. Whether it is desirable to translate contact information to a single common language or transliterate contact information to a single common script, and who should decide who should bear the burden translating contact information into a single common language or transliterating contact information to a single common script. And I should just note that there are many sub-issues really connected with these two issues, but these are the two main issues that were identified in the issue report for the PDP. So in developing the charter, the drafting team wanted to highlight some other important questions, and I want to highlight them here for you as well. My main question is, what are the benefits to the community of translating or transliterating contact data, particularly in light of the costs? Should the translation and or transliteration of contact data be mandatory, or only for registrants, or only for those based in certain countries, or using specific non-ASCII scripts? When should any new policy relating to translation and transliteration of contact information come into effect? And maybe I'll just go back to those. And also, I'm going to just look again at the charter. I'm just pulling up some of the other things in the charter. You know, actually, I think it might be useful. Well, let me move ahead, and then at some point during this call, I don't have it loaded here in the Adobe Connect room, but I can load it pretty quickly. I think it might be useful for us to just scan through the charter. But let me go through this presentation, make sure we have time for it, and then if we've got time within the call, I'll pull the charter up as well. But we can certainly do that at our next meeting and ask people to do some preparatory for the next meeting of going through the charter as well. So just to cover the next steps, we're having our inaugural working group meeting today now. We need to nominate and elect chairs for this working group. We need to develop a work plan, and we need to reach out to the supporting organizations and advisory committees to solicit input from them. As noted, we also have an expert working group that's looking at internationalized domain name registration data requirements concurrently, and also outcomes from this PDP, and Jim Galvin is chairing that group. So as Rudy mentioned, we have several things that are sort of tied together in this effort. Ching Chao is asking if there's anyone from the LEA sector. I don't know that we have anyone from LEA as a participant. Is there anyone, and I just don't know that from the top of my head, is there anyone on the call who identifies or is a representative from the law enforcement sector? But I think that's a good point, Ching, and perhaps we need to reach out to someone in that area. So just some further information. We do have a working group wiki space. There is the charter, and the final issue report is also very important. And Jim, you've raised your hand. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Julie. Jim Galvin for the recording. Ching just made me think more generally about the question of whether or not we have representation in this group from all of the groups the EWG in particular has called out. EWG has a working model of a list of purposes of registration data, and they've identified a number of constituencies, if you will, that have a reason for having access to the data. And it occurs to me that we should try to make sure and do our best to get representation from each of those constituencies in this group, law enforcement just being one of them. But intellectual property jumps out at me also. I'm pretty sure we've got registry and registrars covered. But that might be something to investigate. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. We do have, so I'm looking at the list of membership in the wiki. We've got representatives from registry, registrars, NCSG, IPC, NCUC, NPOC. So a fairly good representation, but I am cognizant that we do want to make sure it's as broad as possible. And I see that Rudy's mentioning, isn't that the task of the work group to reach out to them rather than getting them inside the working group? That's a good question. And I see that Ching Chao also has his hand up as well. Ching?
Thank you, Julie. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you just fine, Ching. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. I just want to point out, and thanks to Jim to bring it up. I think the composition of members in the EWG and how it gets formed, it's different than this PDP working group, as this is pretty much a GNSO bottom-up PDP process, and the EWG is kind of a board or staff-driven an implementation working group. So I do appreciate that the thinking and the planning to reach out to other constituency. But I would simply just like to emphasize that this is a GNSO working group, and I will hope someone actually very capable like Jean can also take the lead, or others can take the lead on this this working group. Just want to point this out. Thanks.
Hello, did we lose Julie?
Hello, Julie is here, and I was on mute. I was speaking and saying wonderful things that you all missed. And I'll just shorten it all to say thank you very much for your many comments. They're all very important, and we will indeed capture all of this in the chat room as well. So I'm going to move along and actually turn things over to Steve Sheng, and he's going to talk about the feasibility study that's ongoing, and actually think that we have a separate set of slides here from Steve that I can pull up. Let's see. Hold on a moment as I get them. Okay. Steve, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you, and these should be the slides that you provided.
Thank you, Julie. Hello, everyone. I'm going to provide a quick update on the related feasibility study. As part of implementing the HUI's review team recommendations, particularly in the area of internationalized registration data, that is recommendation 12 to 14, the HUI's review team has called for a study to evaluate available solutions for internationalized registration data. We recently kicked off this study. I'm going to provide a very quick overview of what the study is covering. In essence, the study is covering three areas. The first area is to document the submission and display practices of internationalized registration data at a representative set of GTLD registries and registrars. As Julie mentioned earlier, one of the issues in this space is, you know, there's a variety of practices. Most registries don't handle don't handle the IRD very well, and there's a variety of practices. So the first order of business is to document those. The second part is to consider and assess the cost and functionality of commercial and open source solutions for transliterating and translating the internationalized registration data. I think that part will be probably particularly relevant for this working group. And the third part is to consider and assess the accuracy implications for transliteration and translation of the internationalized registration data. As Julie mentioned, you know, some of the other high-level questions along with the chartering questions. So those are to be considered by the study. We have a study team. Some of them are here as well on this call. We recently kicked off the study is meeting right now. We're meeting weekly and aiming to produce an interim draft report by the Singapore ICANN meeting. So that's a quick update on the study. The study team was also thinking about providing, you know, more or less regular update to the PDP working group as the areas overlap and there will be interest. There might be interest from the working group to consider, you know, the study update sooner. So that's kind of a general quick update I have. I'll take any questions on this.
Any questions for Steve? Steve, I'm wondering, I do have a question too. This is not related to the feasibility study, but one question. I apologize if I miss it, but do you have a sense of when the study might be completed?
So the current timeline is a interim report by Singapore meeting with some additional consultations in Singapore and a final report by London. Which is in 6 months.
Thank you very much, Steve. And I do think, and I think we discussed this in Buenos Aires as well, that some regular updates would be quite helpful to this particular working group. And I see Amr has his hand up. Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Julie. This is Amr. I was just wondering if we could get perhaps a link to the terms of reference of the study, so we might know more details about what to expect when we're reading it. Thanks.
Thank you, Amber. That's a very good and valid request. I think we will be able to post that fairly soon, as already those are already being finalized. So when those are posted, I'll send a link to this PDP working group, the location for the terms of reference, as well as the study team members. And you know, regular progress. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Steve. That's extremely helpful. Any other questions for Steve? I see Petr Rinforth has his hand up. Petr, please go ahead.
Thanks. I'm sorry if I missed some of the information, but just a general question. Do we have any summarize on how CCTLDs have been working with this? Because there's some of them that have quite a long practice of dealing with internationalized registration data.
Thank you, Petr.
Go ahead.
A very good question. So the answer to that is probably in the original IRD report that was done probably 3 years ago, we did some very, very informal survey of CCTLDs. We probably did 17 CCTLDs and ask for their submission practice. It was a very rough survey, but it would provide kind of a general, you know, kind of a baseline of what the space of practices around that time frame. For this study, you know, we probably want to do a more thorough job in terms of, you know, selecting a more representative set of CCTLDs and GTLDs. As in terms of registration practice, although CCTLD and GTLD face very different constraints, But I think the lessons from the ccTLDs can be, you know, it will be a very useful background and shared with the GSpace. So thank you for that.
And Petr, you have a follow-up question?
No, just a comment there. That sounds very good because I think it would be good for us, both groups, to learn both the plus and minus on that work, how they have dealt with it and what kind of problems that have come up, and also to have it updated because much has happened during these last 3 years, so it's good to have an update.
Thank you, Petr. And Ching Chao, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Julie, and thank you once again, Steve, for the update. I have a quick question on the current slide on the feasibility study, and I'm glad to see three distinctive items. But maybe to think a little bit ahead is that, so Steve, do you suggest this PDT to work with with you and with other, members from this from the WHOIS review team on these three areas, or do you suggest that we do not make effort or do not kind of duplicate our efforts on these three areas. Just to think ahead, what do you suggest here? Given that you have already have those, study being initiated, so just look for your thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you, Chen. I think that's a very good question. One of the challenges, probably as we have seen on the call, is there are lots of moving parts in different efforts. And the challenge, I think, overall for us is how do we coordinate and enable sharing of information on that. I would like to take your question back and think a bit more on how to collaborate. But I kind of, would agree with you. There's a lot of expertise, even, in registry, especially in registry and registrar practice and in other areas in this PDP. And it would be very useful that some of those knowledge can be shared, with this study. So let me acknowledge your question and think about a bit more on how to collaborate and come back to the PDP working group with a proposal. How's that?
And Ching, go ahead. You have your hand up.
Thanks for thanks, Julie, and thanks, Steve. And I fully agree with you. I think more coordination is definitely needed, and it is also help us for this working group as a working group that will be focusing on the policy development. And it seems that this feasibility studies you guys are taking leads on summarizing the industry best practice on the IRD and also the contact info translation and translation. So I definitely think there's many layers and levels of coordination needed here. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ching. And are there any other questions for Steve? Steve, I'm wondering if you could just mention briefly that we do have another, we have an expert working group that's looking at the internationalized registration data, the group that Jim Galvin is leading. Could you mention just the name of that group and indicate briefly what they're looking at?
Sure, Julie. I think as we may recall, the original IRD working group has about three or four recommendations in the areas of internationalized registration data. In this this particular working group, the PDP is taking upon the issue of translation and transliteration issue, which is, you know, probably the hardest part and if not more controversial. There are with respect to the output of WHOIS, there are other elements besides just the contact information, and the internationalized requirement for those also needs to be discussed. So that is kind of sets the context for this WHOIS review team, you know, group that to define the requirements for internationalized registration data. That includes, you know, all the major elements that are output today in the directory service to define requirements for those. And this, so that's what the other working group is doing, where I think very similar to the feasibility study, the two groups, the PDP and the other requirement groups, also needs to closely coordinate, I think, in a way, to, you know, take input and take feedback and provide feedback. So that's where we are on.
Thank you, Steve. And I should point out to everyone that that particular expert working group is led by Jim Galvin, and Jim Galvin is also a member of this working group. So, and Steve and I, of course, work closely, so we will ensure that that we coordinate. And as some of you may have seen in the chat room, I will add to the wiki, this PDP working group wiki, the link to that expert working group so that you will have it at hand. And Yoav Karen has his hand up. Yoav, please go ahead. Yoav, if you are speaking, you may be on mute. Yoav, we're not hearing you. I see you are typing. Not on mute. Natalie, perhaps the operator could see what the situation is with Yoav. It appears that we cannot.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, you can see Yoav is unmuted.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, Yoav.
Okay. I have a very quick comment. I just want to remind everyone that, yes, we have this expert working group, but the expert working group has no formal stand in the policymaking process at ICANN and the GNSO, and this working group has the entire the option to decide on the policy unrelated to anything provided by the expert working group. Saying that, of course, it's very important since they are doing a very important work, that we will collaborate and get the information. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yoav, for making that point. And I should note that expert working group cannot, of course, make policy. That can only come out of a policy development process. So the recommendations from that expert working group could indeed then become an issue that could be taken up in a PDP. But I think that's a very important distinction that you've made. Thank you. And Yoav, you have your hand up again. Would you like to follow up, please?
No, it's okay. Sorry, I just didn't take it off.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to be sure. So I should note that we have just 4 minutes left, and we have a few matters that we need to take into consideration. First of all, we do need volunteers for co-chairs. I think that it might be helpful if we ask for volunteers here, and if anybody wants to volunteer on this call and have their name put out there, that would be great. And I think that staff should then follow up and put those names out on the list, ask if there are other volunteers, and then perhaps we could make the decision of how to proceed if there are multiple volunteers at our next call. Does anybody want to volunteer for the role of chair, co-chair? And we can have co-chairs, we can have vice chairs. It's entirely up to this group how you want to do it. I see that Chris Dillon is offering to be a co-chair. And I should note that Rudy Vonsnick and Chris Dillon were co-chairs of the drafting team for the charter. And I see that Rudy Vonsnick has nominated Chris Dillon. And Amr Al-Sadir has seconded Chris. And Dillon has nominated Rudy. And I see that and that Ching Chao is applauding. And Justine Chu has seconded Rudy. And Amr is applauding as well, and plus one. I'm seeing a lot of support here for our two candidates. I think we have quite good representation on this list. On this call from our list of working group members. And so I think that what I could do is go ahead and announce to the list that we have Chris and Rudy nominated and seconded, and that unless there are any objections, and I doubt that there will be, that they will take up their posts on our next call. Is that okay with everyone? And thank you, Chris and Rudy, and we will give you all the help that you need. Amr has asked, wouldn't someone from the contracted parties like to co-chair this working group? I think we can certainly ask that, and we can ask if there are other volunteers before we close this out. Thank you, Amr. And we can certainly have more co-chairs as well. There's no reason that we only have two, or we can have vice chairs as well. So our last order of business is to set up our schedule of meetings. I think no one wants to meet over the holidays, and if you do, I'm sorry, I'm not going to schedule anything over the holidays. So. Pardon me, there's some background noise here. So looking at the calendar, if we looked at 2 weeks, we would be looking at the 2nd of January. Would that be a time that would work for people, or do we want to move out? Is that a little bit too soon after the New Year's, and would we want to instead look out to the 9th? I see 2nd is okay with Chris. Would the 2nd work for you, Rudy? I'm seeing okay support for the 2nd. Then let's go ahead and schedule for the 2nd of January. And I see actually that Jim Galvin's not available on the not available till the 9th. Ching Chao will be available after the 7th. Let me ask again, are others available on the 9th? If we want to make sure that we have everyone. Okay, I see Chris has said the 9th is also good. And Patrick, Peter, yes, I'm seeing support for the 9th. All right. Then we'll schedule for the 9th just to make sure we have fuller participation. Then I have no other business other than to wish all of you a wonderful holiday and an extremely happy new year. And I'm very much looking forward to working with all of you in the new year.
Thank you very much, Amy. You may now stop the recordings.
Yes, and I'm sorry, just to note that I see a question in the chat room from Jim Galvin. It would be at the same time, the call would be at the same time as it is today. We'll stick with that time unless we have to change it.
And we move to weekly then, starting on the 9th, is what we're saying.
Yes. We'll move to weekly. Thank you for that that confirmation, Jim.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Happy holidays.
Happy
and
holidays.
We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Thanks, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Thank you all. Bye-bye. Until next year.
See you next year.